street at the press club.
You know?
Yeah. And it was basically a very, very good speech, but it read better than it spoke. And therefore, there were no applause like it at all. The only
speeches are usually that way.
Yeah.
It's when he is.
That's
always making difference.
A very strong defense of the foreign policy.
Why?
Very total. No reservation.
Applause lines don't mean anything else. Anybody can get people to cheer and come to me. Yes.
But what I thought was fascinating was the, he said, no, first, in the speech, he said, now, only enough. The president's near success. He's got a president, he's got the outlines of the peace agreement. He insists on that all the details must be worked out because he doesn't want an armistice. He wants a peace. That can be, because Americans be proud to have such a president. Everybody got up and applauded.
Did they?
Yeah. And then the press stuff, you know, these are not necessarily then in the question period. He said, they asked him again the question, and he then read that quote from my press saying, we will not be stampeded and we will not be deflected. And he said, this is the president's policy, and I'm proud to back it, and all Americans should back it. Again, they all got up. The only two times he got applause.
That's, in other words, he took a very strong policy line. Well, my own view about all this, of course, is that we've always done this when we're attacked by demonstrators outside here back in October. Instead of sniveling around like half this, most of the staff have done that, we fight. And then you have to come.
I think, Mr. President, it has really the best position of all now because the right sees you are defending. The detail of the I'm now getting out the word that they want troops to be. I've gotten it to CPS.
Did you?
Yeah. You see, I triggered it with the Los Angeles Times story that we wanted all troops to leave. So they're all coming to me, and I said, no, but we want some of them to leave. So now the New York Times is picking it up tomorrow. I got word of Martin Kalb. I know he's not best man,
sure.
But on this.
No, you so, use him.
He is,
he's got to see
it's better to have it come out of the White House.
What's that?
I thought it was better for Kalb to do it than for Dan Rather, who doesn't understand it so well.
Well, sure. Yeah, Kalb is just smart.
And they're all...
And you were also taking the line of that we're insisting that we be pinned down a coalition government.
That's right. And so they asked, well... Martin Kalb, for example, has now understood that it isn't a coalition government. He called up, that's why he called up, he said, Jesus Christ, I've thought about that. Are you telling me? He had heard Severide's commentary. And I've got Severide really totally dominated.
Good.
He said, can Severide be right? I said, I tell you, Martin, I've been trying to tell it to you. He's absolutely right. He said, but then they'd collapse. I said, I wouldn't use those words, but... that seems to be
what if they could have heard some out of them, that would really could convince them all. That would be smart. That would just...
But by your not signing it, I think your moral position is absolutely unassailable.
Also, you see, one of the reasons for not signing it too, is people have a very sour memory of the bombing of 1968 when they rushed into it under so-called understandings that were not kept.
It isn't easy to screw Vietnamese, but we really, I hate to say it, we screwed these unintentionally. But they must have had victory parties, victory celebrations all prepared. They had instructions to all their cadres. Now they stand there with egg on their face. It's clear now the peace is being made in your face.
And
they're right up the creek right now, you see. On the one hand, I've thought about it. They cannot negotiate again this week. It's too humiliating for them to negotiate, to ask us to sign on 31st and negotiate on the 1st, and having promised them a bombing hold right after the negotiation, they must have concluded especially diabolical, because it would give you the bombing hold just before the election. I'm just looking
at
that.
They think it helps you, actually.
You see, they think it helps the election. That's why they
have... No,
I'm just... That's how their minds work. And that's why they're attacking, for the first time, me, as well as you, by saying, when I said peace is at hand, I wasn't telling the truth. So that's one horn of their dilemma. But the other horn of their dilemma is that they can't kick the agreement over without losing their position that we should sign the agreement. So they keep saying, we have to sign this agreement and nothing else. Now, they'll maintain that for your election, through your election. I think on November 8th, we ought to write them a seemingly very friendly letter saying, now that you are re-elected, you want to reaffirm everything in the agreement. Now let's get it finished. And we'll start negotiating. Then if the passes turn us down, we'll just move. Since October 22nd, we have the better record. We've made move after move to them.
I think, too, right after the election, we have to write a few notes. We've got to get the hell on board here.
No, we've got you quieted down.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he's going to quiet us.
The screaming from the noise has got to reassure his son.
Yeah.
But you think he is going to quiet us?
Yeah. All in all, I think this thing is coming out, going to come out in the best possible way, because on the one hand, I don't know how much this is helping us in the polls, but I do think it's so overriding Watergate and other stuff.
That's the most important.
And it's dominating the news in such a, basically, on your 40, that people are thinking of you in what has always been in the public
strength.
And all the other crap is dogs yapping at your heels. So I think from that point of view, it's very positive, and it shows you as strong, because you're not taking the easy way out of signing.
I like that.
Just before election.
The more you can get that, the better. You're telling them all that, but I'm not going to be signing anything.
Absolutely. Good. And I have never gotten as much mail. I've had about 500 telegrams, of which 432 were totally favorable. I just don't think the news summary is a little misleading, because it tends to emphasize negative. And I think the liberals, after their first spasm, now that they see we are raising the truth issue, they're going to shift back to the other side.
Start attacking them.
Yeah. They'll go back to their talk.
Say, why are we insisting on the truth center? Thank God you got that truth setting out. That's,
well, I think
that was true. And all I read on belief, but they know that's not the agreement.
Yeah, and I've always said it shouldn't be in the agreement. It should be unilateral.
That's what you've been telling me.
Well, first I put it out a little bit diabolically. I put it out as if we wanted all troops to leave.
Yeah.
So that now when I say what we really want, people think it's moderate.
We want some.
We want some of their divisions that they know us to leave.
Fair. There's many things we know. Knowing about many things, is there a chance to keep the agreement? That's what we all know. Anybody in his damn right mind knows this.
I think, Mr. President, that when you announce this thing towards the end of November, it's going to be a good start for your second administration. But I think we ought to start moving the B-52s further north.
Absolutely.
Because the only thing they'll send some pictures, and then the day after your election, we ought to start reconnaissance around Hanoi again.
Sure.
And then if after a week they don't answer, we ought to start bombing up there again.
They'll answer. See, they have another problem, too. What do they say now? That they
They have been screwed and they know it. I mean, they've lost the extra territory they were going to seize. They now cannot seize because every hamlet they've occupied, they're going to get ground down. And
are they?
They can't do it a second time. They just hung out there by the skin of their teeth through the end of October. They've lost a tremendous amount of face with their cattle by telling them they were going to get you to sign before November 7th. So now you've established yourself as a strong man. You are settling at your pace. And they'll say, we're in the driver's seat again now. We had a few rocky days there, but...
Well, we may have a few more, but that's the way it always works, isn't it? What is it? Nothing worthwhile ever comes easy. You know, but the point
was bad
for it, work for it really to be worthwhile, it has to come hard. It has to come hard. We've got to insist on the right kind of the deal. We've just got to do it. I'm just as suspicious as well as you. Let it not have any settlement for a while, and we'll make the veterans cave a little bit more.
After the Fed cut, that goes on to our friends.
No.
And they got
they're better than some, but
a standing ovation when he said it's the only time they applauded. He gave a very strong defense of the Reedwell.
Right.
And it wasn't on television anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
His point that got the applause was that he said, we won't be when he read them. It's the stampede.
He said, I'm proud to have a president who is willing to insist that it's a peace and not an armistice, and every American I know shares this pride, and they've all got up this close. And then in the question period, it came up again, and he just read that sentence. He said, that's what the president's policy is. I stand behind it, and I'm proud of it, and again, they applaud.
You know, it puts that jackass McGovern in his pocket.
What can he say now? He's already wants to renegotiate the agreement. Now he wants to sign it.
Yeah, he wants to sign it, but not be bound by it, so far as the poor damn South Vietnamese are concerned.
Well, now, if you say there's almost nothing they can do. It does them any good.
It is Tuesday, Charlie.
They may walk out on Thursday. They may not show up on Thursday.
So?
But it's Thursday business. I told Porter to...
The main thing is they cannot launch an offensive. We know that.
Oh, no, that's out of the question.
You know, remember that offensive they were always supposed to have? Never came.
But they sort of had it now, but the trouble is they're drawing down capital. The only thing that worries me is that they're getting so weak that they may not be able to afford a ceasefire. They may have to go through another resupply cycle.
Wow.
But then they'll just have to knock the shit out of it for 3 months.
Might not take that long.
They'll be fine.
Won't that take that long? We hit them as hard as we can.
You're getting a Chinese note today. They're probably going to scream a little. They canceled the dinner to the telescope. I had invited them for tomorrow night.
You had invited them to dinner?
I had invited Chow, that's the Vice Foreign Minister. I understand that it's tough for them. I mean, if they had dinner with me, a social dinner, while we're embroiled with the North Vietnamese as we are, it's tough. That's what you thought of the brain.
Well, I suppose that the Chinese. One possibility might happen. They might blast us.
Yeah. You're scared of you.
Well, they need us too much. They won't blast us. Suppose they do blast.
They won't. Now, we've got this thing. This has been...
It's the balancing act.
Even Joe Craft today said it's one of the most masterful diplomatic performances, he said, first to split both China and the Soviet Union away from Hanoi, then to use Hanoi against Saigon, now to use Saigon against Hanoi. He said it's the most dexterous performance. Then, of course, he winds up saying it's all for nothing. Of course, it isn't worth it, but...
Yeah, I know. said that we did all of these acrobatics for nothing.
But they'll get off that after the election.
Of course, it's worth it.
The president.
We save the respect and the honor of the United States of America. That's what's involved in this and everything.
That is fact.
But I will have to then go to Florida. I have to go for a reason. It's very obvious. I don't want to start talking to cabinet officers. I don't want to talk about their features. I want to wait to think about it. See.
You should go then.
And so
I think it's absolutely
fine. I'll go and sit down. So at that point, I think, too, we don't have to play any damn games about whether we're consulting on it. You know, we know what the game plan is. Not maybe he could be on the phone. Or even come to Florida for that matter, you know. But we'll just play that damn game right out. But we're going to play that. Let me, that's clearly understand. It's going to be a tough game after the election. Let's play it out.
Okay.
We'll have the power, and we're not going to screw around these people.
I think we must.
Of course, we screwed that, but let us say they were trying to screw us, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's not no mistake about it.
They were
trying. The way they were seizing that territory, the way they were bragging it was a coalition government, having paper settlements, that was not too much a good thing.
Honestly. They were trying to stand Peter, and they, in the long term, they'll have more respect for you. You just don't stand Peter. So we may have made a slight mistake in suggesting the schedule. We changed it within 48 hours as soon as we saw what was happening.
Sure. I don't think it was a mistake. You suggested the schedule in order to get the damn thing done.
But we've let some huge concessions out of them.
Henry, they've got to be you. They've got to be you.
After promising peace to their people, they cannot keep going another 4 years. Out of the question.
You know, I think that's Jews' problem, too. I noticed, for example, last week he had 560 captures. 560. KIA.
No, I think we're giving
help
you.
Huh?
We're giving you. Max Franco, when I talked to him today, he said, you know, I think you're just putting on a terrific act with Jew, that all you want to do is give him 4 weeks to get ready. And I think
get ready.
And he said you've got it on stage, that's it now.
Get ready to what?
For peace.
Oh. You really think you got him calmed down a bit, though?
Mr. President,
he should quit bitching about that somewhere. And, you know, after all, the way we're standing up.
Mr. President, what he will do after, won't help you in the election. But after the election, he will say that we now got major concessions for him. He'll claim a great victory. When you make the agreement,
that's what he should do.
That's what he will
Everybody,
do.
Everybody, all of this is psychological. Everybody's got a claim victory. He's got to realize, too, he's got a hell of an important friend here in the White House. Rather than
anything. You will have to see him within about a week or two of I told him in San Clemente what you were saying.
Does he buy that or not?
Yeah, and he likes San Clemente.
Or does he want to do it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he didn't want to be rushed, and from his point of view, he's right.
Okay. Henry, just wait out this week.
Mr. President, I thought for sure this week would have been a bad
year. Knew all the background that you can, but particularly keep in touch with him, if you would. You haven't got a chancellor, I do now.
I'm having lunch with him Thursday.
The chancellor, that's not when you see each of these, say that the president suggested always calling out tonight. Because I said you can't go with everybody, and I pick your big senior people. You can say the president would like to have this kind of relationship in the future, too. Right. They'll love that, you know. Well, that makes them think that as we get to the second term, we're going to be very nice to them. And you would say that you do that now. Chancellor, you sever, I keep doing him. And without Ed Smith, what's all of that?
I gave Seide a lot of bologna this morning. I said the president had many talks with me to ask, has anyone ever ended this way? We were discussing historical peace settlements. What we have, of course, often talked about is.
Has any war ever ended, you said?
Ended in such a way that. Without a clear cutoff,
instead of blaming themselves and their ideas, which are really confused here, that's what it is, what they believe in the community to be, they're blaming poor old McGovern. Well, McGovern is not losing. Sure, he's made some mistakes. He's been an asshole. But he's losing because of what he stands for. He stands for the wrong things.
Because this country is not radical.
Not radical. And particularly not soft. Frankly, what you see, our press friends are really for a bug-out.
Oh,
they are for the second-rate U.S. They don't like U.S. power.
The
president,
they know very well that if you bring this up, that everything they predicted will turn out to be wrong.
Right.
I mean, all these bleeding hearts about you and coalition and so forth.
Sure.
They know that it isn't a coalition government. They know that none of them believes that you could survive. They know that none of them believe we could continue to give military aid. What were they criticizing you for? Your obstinate holding on to a corrupt military dictator.
Sure. We'll have problems with the goddamn Congress.
Well, but I think after...
I think you can get the money for
it. If you do as well as you may in the election.
Didn't like the looks of the people.
That's right.
And they were a sleazy looking bunch of scroungy people.